sending the Holy Spirit, and we marvel at the work that He does, the work that He's done in our hearts, and the work that He allows us to do by strengthening and encouraging each other and reaching out to those who don't yet know their Savior. And hope that this brief time together we can see the wonderful way that our training system works, so that we can do the best job we can with the Word to give the Holy Spirit the best opportunity to work in hearts. And so give us the chance to reflect back and give thanks for all the things that You've done, not just for me and Brenda, but that You've done through the members of St. Mark's. So we look forward to that and pray for Your blessing on this next hour. Amen. I think it's appropriate to begin with just saying thank you on behalf of myself and my wife, Brenda. I think this summer is going to be 20 years since we've lived here. And so this is where I grew up, pretty much. This is where I was instructed, was able to take catechism with Pastor Tagmeyer and Mr. Holman. Both of them are gone now, serving in other places. But this is where I grew up. This is kind of where that spark of wanting to be a pastor came from. And so all of your prayers over the years and encouragements, definitely a big part of my life and why I'm here and able to go out on your behalf and just be a pastor and ambassador for Christ. And then I think it's very appropriate, especially the last year, just with what me and Brenda went through with her having her AVM stroke and all the prayers, cards, emails, calls, encouragements, very gracious gifts that so many of you gave to us. We thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts. It most certainly helped us to get through it in a much better way, just to know there are so many people praying for us across the country. It really helped us to get through that, so thank you very much for that. And then I think I will just touch on maybe how the call process works for a pastor and kind of what we go through, what all that entails. And if you have questions at any time, just raise your hand and we can address those. So 10 years ago, I started at Martin Luther College in New Ulm, Minnesota. And that's where all the guys that want to be pastors go. You're there for 4 years, you get a Bachelor of Arts degree, get a regular degree. And your time there, the professors and the dean of students are watching you, and they see your gifts, they see your personality, and they're kind of keeping track of who you are, what they think you're going to be able to do, what kind of a ministry you can have. They write up all these little paragraphs and bios. And once you graduate, you go to the seminary, and you're there for another 4 years. And as you're there, the professors, again, are getting to know you, and they're keeping track of who you are and what you can do. And then that third year, you have your bigger year, that internship year, and that's a big year to shape kind of who you are, what experiences you're going to have with that supervising pastor. And they write up about a 10-page report on who you are, what you've done over the year, what you've learned, how you've grown. And then you come back to that final year of school, and all that's put together into a binder. So each pastor candidate has a binder that kind of follows them, and it's like 25 pages, just a very detailed information on you, which is kind of strange. That's just kind of floating around somewhere set in a vaulted room or whatever. But so that's what the district presidents then. We have the Wells is divided up into 12 different districts, or just regions based on size and area. And those 12 district presidents, who are also pastors, come to the SEM, and they look through those binders, and they know what churches are in their districts that have vacancies, where maybe a pastor has retired, or the church is growing, or they're trying to start a new mission church. And they look at the skills that would best serve at that congregation, and they do their best to kind of match us up with those churches. You might be wondering if we have any input at all into where we're going to go. You kind of do it first for this first call. The president of the seminary does call you into his office and have about a 45-minute to an hour interview with him, and he asks maybe about 5 questions. You see yourself going to more of an urban setting or more of a rural setting? Do you think you'd work well alone or with an associate? Would you like to work in a school? Are you willing to take a foreign call overseas to be a missionary? And they double check to make sure that they know if you're married or not. And I think that's about it. And then they just kind of talk to you and just kind of see where you're at, just to make sure all the information that they've got on you makes sense in your personality and things. And you get a sign. And that sign of the week is pretty exciting. The week starts off with a Tuesday evening. All the vicars get their assignments. And theirs are decided the same way that district presidents know which churches are willing and able to take on a vicar and teach them. And then Thursday morning, that's kind of the real nerve-wracking service. That's when all the pastor candidates get assigned their calls. It's kind of a unique service. I don't know if any of you have watched it online or been able to go to one in person. What's funny, and they kind of just pour on the pressure and anxiety by doing it this way, but it is kind of cool. That the call service is just a regular church service. We all go into the big gymnasium there, and there's an opening hymn, there's readings, there's a sermon, another hymn, some prayers, and then finally the president of the synod gets up and he just reads off the list of names, so then everybody cries and smiles a lot, and we try to sing a hymn, like a quarter of the people sing the hymn, and then right away we go and meet with our district presidents, and then that evening we do a big choir service, about an hour and a half choir service, where the seminary choir sings, and then Friday morning we finally graduate from the seminary and get some Masters of Divinity, the classified item, and roll the scroll thing. Yeah, so that's basically what it's called. I don't know. Pastor degree. And then so I was assigned to a congregation in Rockwall, Texas. It's a suburb about 30 minutes east of Dallas. It's kind of a unique situation. The call was read, and it said that I would be an associate pastor for the pastor who's in Garland, Texas, which is about half an hour away from Rockwall, closer to Dallas. And the pastor there is pastor of a congregation of about 150 members, and they have a lot of members that are commuting from that Rockwall area. So about a year, 2 years ago, they started to meet in a home over in Rockwall, and now there's so many people there that they'd like to actually get another site going. So at this point, it's a multi-site congregation, so they're meeting in both Garland and Rockwall. But my call was to go to Rockwall and see if we can get a church started there. So I was one of two guys that got called to a position where it's not an established congregation, they call it a home mission. So there's no church building, there's just a home and some people who want to meet together, and they want me to go in and see if we can build a church. So that's kind of daunting. But there are lots of prayers, and there's lots of people there that are ready to support, and believe it or not, you do play a major role in that with your prayers, obviously, but also because this is a home mission site, we're actually basically fully funded by the Home Mission Board, which is one of the various boards of our synod, and all of their funding comes from offerings that you give. So believe it or not, you are a very major part of small little group of people down in Texas that want to grow and want to spread the word, and you guys are the ones that are going to make that possible. You're also going to allow me to live and buy food and stuff, so thank you for that. That'll be nice. But yeah, so that's pretty much where we're at. I don't know if you have any questions, any more detailed questions about Rockwall or the call process or Marin and I over the last year, things like that, but if you do, I can try to answer them. Go ahead, Pastor.
Who cried the most on call day?
That's an excellent question. My victory year, when we got the call, I cried a lot. I was just very excited and overwhelmed to, you know, finally after all these years, you're actually going to go and serve real people. Not that the guys at seminary aren't real people, but that's kind of how we view ourselves a lot. You know, we do a lot of teaching and preaching to each other in class, and it's very helpful, but at the same time, it just kind of feels weird when you preach your first sermon to 10 guys in a small room in the basement. It's very different to preach a sermon to a group of people. So cried a lot for that call, cried a lot when I left Florida 2 years ago. And I don't know if it's because of just what's happened over the last year or just the training and things, but getting this call, I did not cry. I was just very happy and excited and ready to go. So I don't know what changed, but it's still very overwhelming, and I'll probably cry when I get ordained. That'll probably happen. Of course, then they make you turn around and bless the congregation, so you're like, whatever, they get it. Yeah, the mission board provides a subsidy for us, so like I said, the service, I'm going to be installed July 3rd and on the 14th of June, so like 10 days, we're going to fly down to Rockwall and hopefully find a place to rent over 3 days, and then we'll fly back to Wisconsin, pack everything up, and then drive down. And so yeah, they do provide the funding, and they set up a realtor to kind of take us around, because with a new mission, it's not like there's a parsonage or somebody who retired or is leaving. There's nothing there, so we're just going to kind of try and find a place to live.
We'll take a tent, just in case.
Yeah, we got a tent. We got a nice small one for me, and then we got a real big one. I'll cover it up in that one. That'll be nice.
Are there many other Wells congregations in the general area, so that an hour away there might be three or four Wells? How many, what's the density of Wells congregations in that area?
There are, they do have another congregation, I think it's Calvary, that's maybe 20 minutes away from this Garland Church. They have a school, which is great, because it's kind of a feeder school for a lot of the other little congregations in that area. There's about 10 churches in that kind of Dallas area, maybe more. So yeah, there's a lot of support. There's a lot of guys that are right there. That'll be good for help and questions and things like that. So yeah.
What's the name of the district you're in? And will you be also serving one or more other congregations?
So we are called to the South Central District. So it encompasses Texas, Oklahoma, I think Arkansas, and Louisiana. It's just our little spot. So and then at first, Pastor said, so we're just going to be working so closely. We might be preaching like every other Sunday, kind of how it works here. Corey said, you know, you might just be preaching at both sites every third Sunday or something like that, because essentially I've been called as a missionary. That's the word that they use. So I'll be doing a lot of just door-to-door canvassing, just trying to meet new people, because there isn't a big group there, so it's going to be a lot of getting into the community. So they want me to focus more on that than maybe like doing preparations for sermons or Bible studies and things like that. So at first, it'll be a lot of shared site work, but then as we both kind of grow, especially as Rockwall grows and becomes its own kind of identity, I'll focus more probably there. And then the other pastor will just continue his work there at the church in Garland.
What'd you do your thesis on, and what are some of the plans that you're going to do to get out there in the community to make yourself known and new to the community?
So for years and years, well, decades, when you're a senior at the seminary, you would have to write a church history paper. It's like maybe 10 to 15 pages, something like that. That was kind of your major paper at the end of your senior year, just to show that you know how to write a proper academic paper and cite and use resources and things like that. And then they had a super good idea. No, it is a good idea. They had a good idea about 5 years ago that, well, why don't we just have them write a senior thesis paper? So this new paper has, the senior thesis has replaced that old church history paper, and now seniors at the seminary are required to write a paper that's between 30 and 60 pages. Some guys have written like 130 pages. I don't know how they did that. And it's on a topic of your choice, obviously something that deals with church and ministry. And so I chose to do my paper on pre-evangelism to postmoderns and millennials. So basically it's how to start conversations with people that are my age so that I can then tell them about Jesus. It was basically my idea. And so I guess that somebody may have read that paper and they're like, well, that guy I want to do started a mission. So I'm not sure. I don't know. I guess I put it on myself in a way. But just some, I mean, some simple ways of going out and reaching people is, I think you guys do a truck retreat or some kind of event. I think that's been down here. Just events like that, or you can even have a block party in the neighborhood. You can have a barbecue at your home. It's really just simple ways just to go out and meet people in your community. Going and introducing yourself to a local, like the sheriff, fire chief, city planner, the mayor, the newspaper, principals at the local schools. It's just ways to kind of infiltrate the community and just create more and more opportunities to actually interact with people that aren't just Wells or in your church or things like that. But from there you kind of develop relationships, see what people are going through, and because we know the power of sin, we obviously know from this morning everybody's headed toward that dreaded door of death. People are going to have problems, and what's wonderful is I get to bring them the message of Jesus that alleviates all of those problems and gives them true hope, not just hope that makes them feel good until they die, but true hope that lasts into eternity. So.
I was wondering if were there a number of pastors in that area knew you and say, we got to get this guy down here?
That's a good question. Yeah, the question, you know, were there pastors down there that knew me and wanted to get me down there? By the time we make it through the system, our names are not well known, but known throughout the synod, because once you start, they start watching you, like I said, with the whole process of just the professors looking at you and doing the write-ups and assembling that binder of information about you. So So usually at least a couple of the district presidents or at least a few pastors from different districts know who you are and then are looking to looking at you to see if your gifts are going to be best used at that congregation. What's very cool is to see how seriously and how just the care and concern that the district presidents have when they are choosing pastors, because they know that these men are going to get called for the first time to a church, and some of them get called to churches of 300, 400, 500, 600 people, and so they are very careful to make sure that they're matching up a pastor whose gifts will complement that congregation. So it's very good that they know who you are, because they can either say, hey, we know this guy, we know that he has a lot of gifts, and those gifts will complement this congregation, so they may call you there. Or they can say, hey, we know this guy really, really well, and I don't think his gifts would best serve here. So they can talk to the other district president and say, look, we've got this guy. We don't really have a spot that seems like a perfect fit for him here. But then they can talk about some of the churches in their area and assign him there. What's kind of cool for us about where we're going is when we were in college, we were to do a trip to campus down in this area, and then I did a couple trips down to Texas while I was a senior at the seminary too, do some canvassing, so all that kind of plays in, but they would see that kind of mission spirit mindset throughout the presidents and then use that information to assign.
Have a website for your church?
Yeah, we do have a website. What was it, the day after I got the call, they called and said, hey, we have a website for you. It is a single page. I called for it. That's good. And the pastor, luckily, from that church in Garland was up. His son just got assigned as a vicar, so I was very lucky that he was up, and so we actually have to talk face-to-face. And he goes, you're a big tech guy, right? Like, you can finish up this website and create a whole Facebook page and Twitter and whatever, and I was like, yeah, I could do that. So I would be learning how to do that. That's what they teach you to do with this. So there is a rockwalllutheran.org, I believe is the webpage. So maybe look at it in like a month or two. it looks good though. It's got plenty of information. It's got a little bio of humor and has some direction. So yeah, it's kind of cool. And they already gave me an email address, and they linked it to my email, which I don't know how they could do that, but they did. So I now have a pastor at rockwall.org is my new pastor email, so that's pretty cool. But, two questions. I guess, can someone refuse their first assignment? That's an excellent question. So during that call week, all the district presidents are up in their meetings together to put together the assignments, and they first put together the bigger assignments because that service is first, and then they start to put together all the assignments for the pastor candidates. And it's very exciting when there are foreign calls available, like missionary calls that would go outside the country, because that's the only case where they actually, the dean comes in and will pull someone out of class, because we're still going through classes during this week. And they'll pull them out, and everybody knows why, and they'll say, okay, like, we are thinking about sending you overseas, are you sure? And they tell us to think about it. And guys do, but it's different when, okay, like, we could really be going overseas and things like that. So this year there were five foreign calls available, and they looked at two of them to be filled, and the first one, a man got called to serve on the Apache reservation. Kind of cool that they still consider that a foreign mission call, because they recognize those people as a sovereign nation. And we actually were some of the first ones who started doing mission work with them, and we haven't stopped since we went there.
In the 50s.
So they called them at a class and said, hey, we're looking to send you to this foreign mission. And they gave him, I think, 8 hours to talk about it with his wife. And so we called her, and she said, yeah, I'm still willing. So those guys are heading down to East Fork, is the name of their particular reservation. And then the next day, another guy got called out of class, and he was actually for a second mission in one of the Apache reservations, and he got called out of class, and then he went and spoke with his wife, and they decided to defer that call. So he said, you know, we don't feel comfortable doing that call. And so then he received another assignment to a congregation in the United States. So that's the only time when you're allowed to say, you know, we don't feel comfortable doing that. If you get your assignment and then walk up to your district president after that meeting and say, well, I don't really want that one, doesn't really work that way. That would be bad. That's an excellent question. I mean, it's, you know, it's nerve-wracking and things like that. But by the time you guys get here, they've thought about this a lot, things like that. So, and then the second question, is there property that's been purchased yet? My knowledge, no, there isn't. At this point, there's a member who owned a home in the Rockwall area, and he still lives in the area and has another house, and this house at the meeting now, he's kind of cleared it out, and now it's a venue for wedding receptions, things like that. But he's also allowing the members to meet there on Sunday evenings. So that's the only site that we have right now, which is good. It'll be nice to get down there and spend a little while with the members and see, you know, what area would be a good spot to build a church and things like that. But yeah, it'll be, as God blesses this, we will purchase property and then have to go through the whole building process, which everybody tells me is super easy and tons of fun, so that'll be good. But yeah, so that's where we're at down there.
What's your biggest concern?
My biggest concern going up to Rockwall is for...
You have to reword that. What makes you most anxious?
Most anxious. There you go. Positives, yeah. Most anxious is being patient enough to meet with the members that are down there to learn and appreciate their gifts, and then see how their gifts can best be used in the community, to see what the community's needs are. Not to go down and think, well, I got this thing figured out, you know, I've never been there or never lived in Texas. But to be patient enough and see, okay, how can we be in this together? How can we together go out into this community and reach people with the word in a meaningful way, in a way that we actually can? So that's my biggest. I'm very excited to do that. I try to look at it as an opportunity instead of a challenge. Because I know there's, well, those 20 or 30 people, they have a unique quality that God certainly will use. Some of them, it may be prayer. Some of them, it may be good questions during Bible study. For some of them, it may be a zeal to go door to door. For some of it, maybe being a greeter at church and having that welcoming face that has someone come back to church. So I think that's the biggest thing, is just realizing, you know, I'm not the only missionary that is going to be there. But all of us are in this mission together to share the word and grow in it together. So.
Were you fortunate or not fortunate enough to work with a pastor that confirmed you?
Oh. I was very fortunate to work with a pastor that confirmed me. So, for those of you who remember, Pastor Tackmeyer, so he actually got here like...
Just 6 months before we did.
Yeah, 6 months before we moved here. So, we live kind of far away, so it wasn't realistic for us to go to Luther Elementary School here. So my first real opportunity to kind of dig into the Word was confirmation class with Pastor Tackmeyer, and just very much enjoyed going through that class and his example. And then fast forward like 15 years, Pastor got called to be a professor at the seminary, and actually just before that, before I got to the seminary, he was assigned there about for a few years, and then he actually married me and my wife, which is pretty cool. And then when I got enrolled, I found out that he was going to be my teaching or my preaching professor. So I actually did my first sermon for him, and the first and second sermon for him. And so he kind of taught me how to preach the fundamentals. And then had him for a couple other classes, Genesis, and then what was very cool is just to see him, because all the professors at the seminary are former pastors, so you just see their pastoral hearts over and over. And so when, about 8 months ago, when Brenda had her stroke, obviously mom and dad are out here, and so you kind of feel alone, but you quickly realize that you're surrounded by like a million pastors. Because I think I was visited by 11 different pastors in that first week, which is very humbling. And Pastor Tackmeyer was the first one on the scene that Sunday evening. And just to see that, just because he was called to be a professor and things like that, only, I guess, amplifies his pastoral heart, and just to see how we came into this situation. So, yeah, he's kind of been teaching me this whole time, and I'm sure I'll call him a lot of times in these first few years just for advice and encouragement, things like that. So very much appreciate all of that.
Pastor Lieberman, I understand that Bell's pastor is in Texas where their cowboy goes to church. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get used to that one. That's just weird. I don't know. Yeah, they did remark that in the call meeting, the fact that I wear boots did come up, so I don't know if that played into it or not, but I appreciated that remark, so.
I just found on the spot your website that you signed to.
That's right, yep, we're on the website. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
So you're
Yeah, in Line, Peace, and Garland. Yep, that other website. Yep.
That's a good start.
Yeah, please friend it. That'll probably make it grow a little bit faster. Thank you.
Who's doing your sermon?
We do have a small class at the seminary, or we do have some moderate classes. I know there was a lot of opposition that they didn't build because their class was small.
Right. Our class had 30 kids. There were 30 from my class that were going to get assignments. One of the men is going to get an assignment later this summer. And then we had 3 that are returning from past years that were going to get assigned, because we have our preparatory schools. There's 2 kind of preparatory high schools that are main feeder schools for the college. And they have on-site dormitories, and they assign okay, I'm coming out of the seminary to be a tutor there. So he's kind of like a dorm supervisor, and he also leads class, and I think he'll preach at local congregations. So three of the guys from our class got those kinds of assignments, and the three guys that were coming back from finishing those two-year assignments got new calls. So there were 35 guys that got assignments this year. And then with the huge number of vacancies right now that's in the Wells, that's a number that fluctuates, and what's good about it right now is that there are just enough openings to allow for pastors to move around, which is good, and they like it when there's enough openings that pastors can maybe take assignments when it seems like they've finished their time at a church, or it seems like they've grown gifts that could be used somewhere else and things like that. So at this point, I think there's maybe 50 vacancies right now, but those are served by local pastors in the areas and things like that. So yeah, we have 35 guys get assigned. So the community down there, from everything they've told us, it is very new. It's going to grow, it's estimated to grow about 10% every year for the next 10 years, is their prediction. So it's growing a lot right now. The city of Rockwall has about 40,000 people. So a lot of it is new jobs. We've got, I think, three big industries that are moving into town and building, so a lot of young families and things like that, which is exciting. So there's lots of opportunity for growth in the community, and probably growth in the church, people moving in and maybe not having a connection to a church in the area, so that's exciting.
Do the district presidents still get assigned graduates?
Do the district presidents?
District presidents, do they still get assignments?
Do they still get assignments like?
Graduates assigned to them?
Assistant.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so the district presidents, the 12 district presidents, they have, they're never alone at their churches, because as district president, they're in charge of, each one's probably in charge of a couple hundred pastors, and so they travel a lot, and they're doing meetings, and they're always getting ready for not just our call service, but they handle all the calls in their areas. So it's a lot of work just outside of their local congregation, so they usually get an assistant. And this year was kind of crazy. We had three district presidents retired, and then one actually was called to be a professor at the seminary. So we're going to be getting four new district presidents appointed in the next couple of weeks. And so four of the guys that got their calls this year were assigned. This would just be very nerve-wracking, I imagine. So they were assigned to the district president of like the Western Wisconsin district. And that's all they knew. They just knew that they were going to be assigned to someone who had not been appointed yet at a church somewhere in this district. So they didn't really find out a lot. So those guys are still, I think, waiting to see who they're going to serve with, where they're going to live, and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. Park was out for those guys, but they'll figure it out.
Who's preaching your installation service sermon?
Oh, yeah. And then, believe it or not, Professor Tagmeyer will be preaching for my installation service, so, yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, so he'll be flying down for that. That'll be nice. Great question. So, I guess I had, you know, grandpa and dad who had grown up in the church and always encouraging and just always enjoyed being in church and studying the word and things like that. And then I went around California, so we were very separated from the Midwest where the actual schools are. So I didn't really have any idea of what it meant to become a pastor or where you go to study. And then I do remember seeing the Wells Connection when I was a junior in high school, and they actually showed like Martin Luther College. You know, we have kind of a shortage of pastors, so anybody considering it, give it a try. So I was like, well, why not? I could give that a try. So I applied to Martin Luther College and a couple other colleges and got into Martin Luther College. Figured, well, I should start out there, and then if that doesn't work out, I can do something else. So, hadn't done any college visit or anything. I'd never been to Minnesota, and I showed up 4 days before class. Of course, there was a tornado about 50 miles. No joke, there was a tornado that day, and we pulled it, so that was pretty exciting. Mom felt perfectly comfortable with me going there. But yeah, it was just something that you know, I had wonderful examples of pastors and a lot of encouragement at home. Just always really had remembered the lessons and just enjoying confirmation class, things like that. So I guess the biggest thing that I always like to leave with is parents or grandparents or even young guys or girls that want to be teachers, or guys that want to be teachers, that's okay too. And it's to just try it out for a year. The worst thing that could happen is that you go to a school where you're surrounded by other Christians, and this is one thing that I've just loved and appreciated over the years. And now it is kind of sad that I won't have it anymore, but when you're at Martin Luther College, they actually have about a 15-minute chapel service in the morning and in the evening. So in between classes in the morning around 9 o'clock, we just go into the gym and have a little service, and we do a hymn, and there's a devotion and another hymn that's done by the professors in a rotation. And then in the evenings, there's same thing, hymn, and then a devotion is given by a student or a professor, and then a hymn, and just to gather together twice a day and just be encouraged to sing with just a bunch of young voices. It's wonderful, and so that's why I encourage anybody that's just considering it or thinking about it, it's just worthwhile to go there. All your credits will transfer. Like, we take regular classes like math and science and English and history and all that stuff, so you don't have to worry about being behind or anything like that. So that's my main thing, is just if you have any inkling that you want to go, or if you see anybody that has a little bit of that spark or something like that, encourage them. Encourage them to go. Encourage them to just go visit. Too. It's good to go and visit and see the campus. Now, one of the greatest blessings at the campus, Martin Luther College, is they built a huge chapel. I think it seats 1,200 people. It's got chairs so they can move the chairs and make it seat just a ton of people, but it's a huge building. I mean, you could fit the St. Mark's inside of just of that chapel building, and it's incredible. So just to worship there and to see that is so just inspiring and encouraging. So a visit there usually gets kids pretty excited and makes them want to go and at least try it out for a year. Really well. She continues to have. She graduated out of speech therapy very quickly, which, yeah, by God's grace, her mind and memories and personality and all that stuff wasn't affected by this, which is wonderful. And so she got out of that pretty quick, and now she continues to have occupational therapy and physical therapy. So just occupational therapy, really just working on her hand and arm, and physical therapy, working on her walking and things like that. And at this point, she can drive. She's been driving for like 3 months, maybe 4 months. Does a great job with that. She's able to be very independent. She can get dressed and do everything on her own. She's doing a lot better with stairs, which is really cool. And yeah, it just keeps getting stronger. We've taken a couple walks this week. It's just great to see that she keeps getting faster and things like that. And it's been really cool to see her when she was in the, she told me later, when she was in the ambulance, she said a prayer that, you know, God, if I get through this, let me be able to share this experience, and hopefully that'll be a way to lead others to faith. And, I mean, wow, that's a good clarity of mind and just a strong faith at work there. But she has been asked, she was asked by the hospital to do a news story. And what was it? It's only like maybe 3 weeks ago. The local Fox Network came and did a whole interview and followed her around at therapy, and they ran on the news that night, which was kind of neat. She's like a local celebrity and stuff. That's just cool to see her encourage other people who are struggling through therapy and rehab, and just to give some, offer some hope and things like that. So she's doing good. It's not like it's easier, things like that, but God gives all those crosses and burdens to carry in this life. Some from sin, some just kind of happen. And it's just wonderful to see that He gives us the strength and the hope to get through it, and wonderful support through Christian friends and family. And so keep saying your prayers. She continues to bear that cross and things like that, and there's tough days and frustrating moments, so
Packer fans.
There's probably going to be a lot of Dallas fans, which is fine. Other than that, I'm hoping there's a lot of people that wear booths. That would be cool. And for us, barbecue and things like that. But everybody who's contacted us has been very nice, and just tons of prayers and preparations have already been made for us, so that's very encouraging. I look forward to work with the people that are down there.
If you want to get along there, you're going to come to Dallas and help them quickly.
Well, I do have a silver truck, so if I put a blue star on the side, they'll probably freak out. That just might have to happen.
What are you and 11 of your colleagues doing next weekend?
Oh, so a little bit about what I'm doing next weekend before we fly down and try and find a home. So, just a kind of a cool thing. Me and 11 other of the seniors that just got their assignments are doing a, it's called a Ragnar race. We're running from Madison to Chicago. So each guy runs 3 legs, anywhere from 5, 6, 7 miles. So that's going to be June 10th and 11th. We're going to be doing that, so. It's a lot different running in California than Wisconsin. There's a few more hills and it is a little bit hotter, but hopefully that'll serve me well.
Michigan, okay.
So very like
Baltimore,
Mississippi.